We talked the other day about last Sunday. What did we talk about? So we looked at John chapter 8 from verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been a slave to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin, is a slave to sin." We said that Jesus Christ was looking not for believers. It says to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus did not tell them, okay, you've believed, so you have arrived and you've made it. He said, no, if you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so, Jesus is looking not for believers, but for disciples. And who are the disciples of Jesus Christ? The disciples are those who hold on to his teachings. Do you hold on to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have you set up another teaching of your own? We said that the word Christian is a word that came later. Jesus never used it. It's a word that was actually coined by non-Christians to refer to these disciples of Jesus Christ. The early church members called themselves disciples and followers of the way. That's another important thing that's also been forgotten. Followers of the way, the one way. That's what the Christians, the early Christians called themselves. They were disciples, followers of the way. The one way of salvation. And so the word Christians and the definition of it over the years has turned into something that is, it means something today based on what's accepted as a Christian, or those who are accepted as a Christian, and based on those who consider themselves, some of those who consider themselves Christians. Being a Christian today, in many respects, is different from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why? Because many who say they're Christian do not hold on to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus, as we said, is looking for disciples, not for believers. And that's why you can say Jesus was a good man. Fine. The devil believes that too. You can say that Jesus was a prophet. Good. Many of these people believe that too. You can say Jesus was a miracle worker. Great. Wonderful. You can say that Jesus died. Great. That's wonderful. That will not bring you to heaven. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who are truly his and who are saved and who are going to heaven, are his disciples. And the disciple is the one to hold on to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when you hold on to his teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Knowing the truth is not having the truth in your head. It's actually keeping the teachings that Jesus gave you. Truth in the Christian life is taking the word of God and applying it to your life and actually living it out. That's truth. It is the opposite of hypocrisy. You will know the truth as you hold on to the teachings of Jesus. And that truth will set you free. Now, these guys give Jesus an interesting response. And that's what we will look at today is we are Abraham's descendant and we've never been slaves to anyone, of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus responded, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, there are two things here. For number one, we are Abraham's descendant and have never been slaves to anyone. Relationship with someone does not save anybody. Your being a descendant of Abraham doesn't save you. You'll bring a Jew. There are some people who believe all the Jews will be saved. These people here were Jews. They say we're Abraham's descendant. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? Doesn't matter who you're related to, who's your friend, what connections you have. You need your own walk with God. Now, the thing I want us to note is that this wasn't true. It's not true that they had never been slaves to anyone. They as a people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. The longest slavery period that we know of any people as a whole in history. Longer than the slavery of black people in the United States. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And they were used as labor to the Egyptian. They were used as slave laborers to accomplish the intelligent and wonderful engineering, civil engineering projects that the Egyptians had and carried out. And so, yes, they were slaves. And they have been slaves in Egypt. And the Bible carefully records that story. And Jesus tells us, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Sin is not something that a person does because he just wants it. At first, a person might commit a sin because he decides to do it. But after that, he becomes trapped and he becomes a slave. Even when he says he takes New Year's resolution, says, I will not do that thing again, I'll not do that thing again. And he goes ahead and falls into it again. He says, I will not do this thing again. Then he finds himself doing it again and he says, oh man, how could I get myself into this state again? And sometimes he decides, I will not do it again. And he musters all his might. He musters all his might and says, I will not do that thing again. Even while he's thinking that, he still does commit his sin. Sin is a bondage. It is not whoever thinks that he just gets up in the morning and then he says, I choose to sin. And when I don't want to sin, I'll put sin down. Doesn't understand. Sin is not like an inert thing, like this chair. I can move it here, and then I move it over there. Sin is not like that. Sin is more like a serpent that you take and you put into your house. And as soon as you put it there, it curls around you and begins to go with you wherever you go. Sin is not a thing that you put there. It's not like a drink in a cup. You take and you drink. When you think you have enough, you put it down. And then later, when you think that you have the room for more, you drink, take another sip. Sin is not like that. It's a creature. It's like a creature that comes and grabs you. God says to Cain that if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is to master you, to control you. And it's an interesting passage. He says, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But then he says, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. That's kind of confusing. If you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at your door. Well, I thought not doing the right thing was sin already. Yes, what he's saying is when you decide to sin, yes, you're putting yourself under the mastery of sin. The more a person sins, the more he's saying, okay, I want to be under the slavery of sin. The more I want to sin, the more I want to, the more you say, okay, I'm going to decide to sin, the more you say, okay, yeah, let the slavery of sin come, let the slavery of sin come, let the slavery of sin come. And so you have people who have been bound, trapped. It takes an honest man to acknowledge, I'm a slave to sin. What is the habit that you are a slave to? What is the habit that you are a slave to? And the master behind sin, the person you really become the slave of, is Satan. And he is a ruthless master. Sin is a ruthless slave master. And it will come into your life and it will seek to take every inch that it can and destroy whatever it can destroy in you. And then the devil will be happy. Sin is a slave. Sin is a slave master working for the devil to ensure that you do not become what God wants you to be. But you need to give it an opening. The Bible said, do not give the devil a foothold. You don't just wake up one day and you become a slave to sin. You gave the devil a foothold. Maybe you were like, okay, I'm going to watch this thing once. Then you watched it once. Then after that, it became an addiction. Or you say, I'm going to try lying once. I'm going to try stealing once. And after that, it became an addiction. What's the way out? The answer is to look at the story of the real, of the slavery that we know of, that these people were part of. And in Exodus, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel were slaves and the Egyptians ruthlessly used them, mistreated them. That's a picture of sin. And for 400 years, And you can go on. One generation was under slavery, the other one went into slavery. And you can pass the bondage of sin to your children. Every man is born a sinner. And as I was saying earlier, there are some sins in your life that you got from your parents. And some maybe from your grandparents, some from your great-grandparents. You need to pray and break those. I know the ones in my life. I hope you know yours too. And you have to pray and get rid of them. But these people were in slavery for 400 years. And God sent Moses finally. And told him, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God must bring the deliverance. God must be the deliverer. For 400 years, they found no way out. And in 400 years, you will find no other way out. God must be the deliverer from sin. God is the only one who delivers from sin. You have to stop turning to man. You have to stop turning to, you have to turn to God. Now, Moses went there and God told him, tell Pharaoh, let my people go or else I will do this. And he brings 9 plagues. All sorts of awful judgments in Egypt, never seen before in any land. And Pharaoh will not let them go. It was like, yes and then no, yes and then no, yes and then no. And their hopes were rising and then their hopes were falling. Maybe that's how it's been for you with your sin. Your hopes rise, your hopes fall. You all think sometimes you almost close, I almost got it, but then you didn't. None of those threats got those children of Israel delivered from the slavery in Egypt. None of the threats. There was one thing that brought their deliverance. There was one thing that brought the deliverance of the children of Israel. And Exodus chapter 12. Sorry, from chapter 11. From verse 4. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go through Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel, and these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you and your and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. If you go to chapter 12, the Lord says from verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with each person. The animals you choose must be your old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top of their door frames, of the door frame of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and each made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, heads, legs, inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with cloaks tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. What was God doing? What was He planning to do in Egypt that night? What was God planning to do that night? To kill all the firstborn. He was bringing judgment on the whole land, on everybody. He was going to every household and bringing judgment. Was it fair judgment? Mm-hmm. Yes. They were all sinners, including the Israelites. They were no better than the Egyptians. The number of times they rebelled later in the... When he says, I'll bring judgment against the gods of Egypt, he brought judgment for their sin and their idolatry, which the Israelites also practiced. How do we know? when Moses goes to the mountain, they build a golden calf. Where did they get that idea from? From the Egyptians. They still had their idols there with them. But God made a distinction. And the distinction was based on one thing. What was it? The blood that they put on their doorposts. That blood on the door frame of a person's house was the only reason why their house was not struck down under judgment. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, people celebrate Passover. Now, if they realize the point of the whole Passover deal is that God came, when God comes under judgment, when God comes to bring judgment, to bring people under judgment, to judge people because of their sins, eventually sending some people to hell because of their sins, the only reason why he will spare some people is because of the blood. But the other thing that happened was what? What was the direct consequence of the blood on the doorpost and their escaping judgment? The consequence was that they were told to leave. And they got out. Their slavery ended. What ended their slavery? The blood that they put on their doorposts. It is the one thing that made the difference for them. They did not need anything else. It was very simple. They were told, kill an animal, take its blood, put it on your doorpost. And then when God comes and begins to judge the whole land, he will pass over you. Now suppose there was a man there who said, I'm such a good man, I don't need no blood on my door and no harm coming into my house. What do you think happened to him? His firstborn died. And that morning he found out, no, his family wasn't as sinless as he thought. The best of the Egyptian, the best behaved first son died. The worst behaving first son also died. The best sinner goes to hell. The worst sinner also goes to hell. The best sinner is a slave to sin. The worst sinner is also a slave to sin. The best Israelite who did not put the blood on their doorposts also was struck down. The worst Israelite who put the blood on his doorposts was spared. And they were able to get out. There is one thing that sets us free from sin. That is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We are set free from sin because of his sacrifice on the cross, and there is nothing else other than that. There is one thing that you need to be set free from sin. It is the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. And you must take your faith and put it in that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for you. You must believe that Jesus Christ dying on the cross released all the power necessary to break the grip of sin from your life. And the day you believe that day you will be free. The day you truly as long as you believe that you still got your own scheme to work out and set yourself, get yourself out of Egypt, you will spend 400 years trying. One thing set them free. One thing spared them from the judgment was the blood of the Lamb. One thing saved them from the slavery from Egypt, it was the blood of the Lamb. One thing sets us free from sin. One thing spares us the judgment of God over our sin. It's the blood of Jesus. It is not the things that you do. When God does not punish you, it is not because you've been a good person. It's because Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. There's no righteousness you come up with that will rescue you. And secondly, there's only one thing that actually sets you free from sin. It's not your trying. It is your believing that Jesus Christ has set you free from sin by his shed blood on the cross. Now, and there you also have the difference between the person who's trying and the person who's actually getting delivered. What do you think? Yeah, when the Israelites woke up in the morning, and there was wailing throughout the land, mothers crying all over the place, including the queen. And they were told, get out of here, get your things and go. And they opened the gates, and the checkposts opened, and the road was all set for them to, and they started moving. And you asked one of the Israelites, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to leave Egypt? He said, no, I'm not trying. I am leaving. This is not trying. I know we're leaving. I know we're getting out. We're doing it right now. I'm walking out. So when you hear somebody say, I'm trying to get rid of sin, they haven't yet believed that Jesus Christ has set them free. Do you try to do something that's already been given to you? I have this Bible in my hand. Okay, how can I try to hold it? David, how can I try to hold this Bible that's already in my hand? I cannot. I'll have a very hard time trying to hold this Bible that's already in my hand. When people truly believe that Jesus Christ set them free from sin, they do not try to live holy. They live holy. They do not try to forsake sin. They forsake it. They do not try to be set free from sin. They live knowing that they are free from sin. Now, suppose there was an Israelite in his house. They say, hey, get up. We're getting out. I've been here for 400 years, and you think this one morning we're just going to get up and leave? I don't believe you, man. And he went back to sleep. What will happen to such a man? He will continue to show up the next day to his workstation, to his workplace, and begin to carry the bricks, and the Egyptian will be happy with such an Israelite. See, he is one who did not get out. And if you do not believe that Jesus Christ, you say, I've been in this sin for so long, phew. You think just after my hearing this message, I'm going to go now and be set free. They will say, okay, fine. There's somebody who doesn't really believe that they got out. Still things under my grip. Any Israelite who would have been held by the Egyptian in slavery would have been held because of his own ignorance and his lack of faith. The devil, whatever molesting that you get from the enemy, you get it because of unbelief. But let me say that God did not come and send the Holy Spirit and get people out of their bed and whisk them out of Egypt. God will still not come when it's time for you to sin and the Holy Spirit comes and grabs you by the hand and immobilizes you so you do not sin. You are the one supposed to do the not sinning, not the Holy Spirit. You are the one supposed to walk holy, not the Holy Spirit. You are the one supposed to leave your sin behind, not the Holy Spirit. You're the one supposed to walk away from it, not the Holy Spirit. God gave them the deliverance, but God did not come and do the walking for them. He did not send chariots of fire to take them out of Egypt. The chariots of fire come to take you to one place, to heaven. God did not walk for them. They had to do the getting out. But God guaranteed that the possibility to get out was there. And it was easy. There's never been an easier way to get out of your slavery than this. You just get up and you walk out. In fact, you're told by the people, get out, get out. This is what happened. Now, how do we know that this is exactly what, this is what Easter is about? Easter is about God setting His people free from sin. Easter is not about eggs and rabbits and people dressing nice. Some people who have been walking in sin and in worldliness the whole semester here, and then last month they all woke up one day in the morning and dressed nice and went to church and say, "Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is risen." And first of all, Jesus, like I said the other that day, Jesus did not tell us to celebrate His resurrection, to remember His resurrection. He never said, "Remember my birth." He said, "Remember the death on the cross." That's the key part. It's the blood. He had no blood being shed when He was risen. He had no blood shedding while He was born. His blood was shed when He died. And that is the one thing that makes the difference for us. The work was done. All things were accomplished at the cross when He died. He said, "All is finished, all is accomplished." The victory was won at the cross. Yes, there is the resurrection. We praise God for it. Yes, there is the birth. We praise God for it. But the thing to remember is the death. Then the resurrection, then the birth. Now we've done the reverse. The big party is for the birth. And then after that is for the resurrection with the bunnies and things. And then the death people have forgotten. And you know why? It's because people don't understand. It is what sets us free from sin. And if you know that, and if you understand that, you will rejoice in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will remember it frequently. What do you think these Israelites remembered? The day that one-year-old calf was born, and say, "Thank the Lord we had this calf, man. He was so timely, so we can slaughter." No, they remember the day that they slaughtered and they put that thing on the doorpost. And that's what Jesus says. And read it in context. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible is a wonderful book. It has the same message from beginning to the end. It tells you that although there were many authors, although there were many writers, there is one author, the Holy Spirit. You cannot change it. You cannot add to it, and you cannot remove from it either. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Can someone read from verse 1? Paul was speaking to people who were having problems with sin. And he gave them one reason why they ought to stop sinning. He gave one reason why we must live holy. And what is that reason? For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. For Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, because Jesus Christ died, because his blood was put on the doorpost, that is on the cross, because of that, therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. We must walk holy, free from wickedness. Because Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for you? That is the one reason. What is the one thing that sets us free from sin? His death on the cross. Pray about this and pray that God will enable you to believe it and to take everything you have and stake it on this fact that Jesus Christ, your Passover lamb, died. You are no longer a slave to sin. One day I was walking out recently, which was when I go around, I think it was one of the days when it was the first hot day of the year, and I happened to go on campus, and all the girls had their miniskirts out that they've been holding all winter out came out that day. And I looked at it, and the thought came to me, my, how awful, how do you live in this place? And I say, no, I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ, my Passover, these things don't work on me anymore. I'm a Christian. I've been set free from sin. When the devil comes and sends it, I say, no, I've been set free from sin. I'm past and beyond that. It is those who are still slaves to sin who will be troubled by it. I went and had a happy time on whatever I was doing on campus that day. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That's the message. And it is what we must look at. It is the centerpiece of Christianity. And listen, there is nothing equivalent to it in any other way. That is why being a Christian is the way. It is because it's the only way that has a cross stained with the blood of the Son of God. When you go on that way, when you enter that narrow door, that narrow gate, on that narrow gate, the doorpost of that narrow gate are stained with the blood of the Lamb. When you pass through that narrow gate, you become free from the judgment that comes from because of sin. And you become set free from sin. There's no other way that exists that offers that. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord that this message will sink into our hearts. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Give us faith, O Lord, that Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, that we have been set free from sin. We claim the right, O Lord, to walk free from sin. Father, let this be clear in our hearts. O Lord, make it clear to us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.